So just before the show, I visited with a guy named Bob Schaefer. He's the executive director of FairTest.
FairTest is the nation's testing nonprofit watchdog. We've been around for more than 36 years, working on promoting better forms of assessment at both K-12 and university admission. And we have been the leaders of the national test optional movement since the late 1980s.
So are you against testing per se, or you just want testing to be fair?
We want assessment of students and workers to be fair, accurate, and educationally sound. And heavy reliance on standardized tests for college admissions like the SAT and ACT violates all of those goals. Many schools in the country are already test optional, including the University of Chicago. And have proven that it is a better, fairer, more accurate way of making admissions decisions.
We're talking about ACT and SAT tests, for instance. Why are those not fair and accurate judges of a student's ability?
Well, independent research shows that they are poorer predictors of undergraduate success than our high school grades. And folks say, wait a second, high schools are way different from one another in how they grade. Some are tough, some are easy. Kids can take very rigorous courses or basket weaving. Yet despite all that, high school grades predict better than the tests, which show how poor the measures they are. They also reflect cultural and demographic biases, and they are very susceptible to high-priced test prep, in which affluent families can essentially buy higher scores for their kids by investing thousands of dollars in tutors to improve their test-taking skills, but not their academic ability.
Mm-hmm.
So for all those reasons, more than half the colleges in the United States have decided not to require standardized tests. And now the University of Illinois has joined them as well. And the legislature is moving to make all public schools test optional.
I want to talk about that 60% number in just a second, but aren't you maybe talking about the exception rather than the rule? That is, kids who get really high ACT scores tend to be really smart kids, tend to have a better chance in college. I suppose students who get poor scores could be good students, and they're at a disadvantage for a variety of reasons. But isn't at least the top half true, that a kid that gets a 31 on their ACT is not, unless they're cheating, is a very bright student, maybe they should have the advantage?
Unfortunately, the admissions office doesn't know whether that 31, a very good score, is the result of a kid coming in and taking the test cold, or after a $1,000 test prep course, or a $15,000 personal tutor who worked with them every day, even if they weren't cheating. So the score itself is meaningless without the context. And again, research again by ACT shows that for about a third of students, the test score is inconsistent with their academic performance, and that in many cases, students who do average or lower than average on the standardized test can do perfectly well in college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was research like that that led the University of Chicago to go test optional permanently several years ago. It encouraged places like Lake Forest and Knox in Illinois to be Lake Forest to be test optional for decades, and more recently, Northwestern went test optional for at least a couple of years because they know test scores are not needed.
What do you imagine is the best predictor then? I mean, how should we determine who gets into schools?
Well, judgments by experienced admissions officers who know that the strongest predictors of all are high school record, which includes both GPA and the rigor of courses that a high school student has taken, whether it's a teenager has challenged herself by taking the most rigorous courses available in that particular school. And that federal government research shows that that is the strongest of all predictors mm-hmm. of undergraduate success.
Are there other factors that a school should consider? I mean, we're comparing ACT to, say, GPA in high school, but what about if you were in band or in sports and things like that?
The admissions officers at test optional schools do consider many other factors, not just pure academics. They look at things like leadership, extracurricular activities, community service, overcoming obstacles in the background, and other factors that go into making someone a desirable member of a college community.
60% now, or 60+% of colleges and universities in America do not require the ACT or SAT, is that correct?
For current high school juniors, for students in the class of 2022, it was even higher for students who are just about to graduate. Because of the pandemic, many schools that were not previously test optional suspended their testing requirement, to the extent that about three-quarters of all schools are test optional for current high school seniors, and many more announcing that they will do so for juniors. So more than 1,400 of the nation's 2,330 undergraduate schools are already test optional for high school juniors, and we expect more to join them.
You say test optional, but that means that if I did get a 31, I could submit that, right?
That's right. It allows students, it empowers students to put their best foot forward. If they think that a video of them playing football helps in the admissions process, they can send that in. And if they think filling in bubbles on a Saturday morning
okay,
could get them a high school, if they think that's helpful, they can send that in as well.
Aren't we kind of red flagging then the students that don't submit their scores? That is, a kid with 31, they'll see that. And how does that not bias the admissions person? And a kid who doesn't, they may conclude, doesn't have a very good ACT score. I wonder at what level the student should volunteer that number.
Well, that's an individual decision, but a large number of colleges have signed on to a statement from their professional organization saying that optional means optional, and that an applicant will neither be advantaged nor disadvantaged by submitting or not submitting a test score. The initial data from admissions decisions this spring indicate that that is pretty much what happened, that students with equal credentials got in at about equal rates, whether or not they submitted test scores.
I can imagine, though, somebody just looking up and seeing what the average ACT score was at the school the previous year, and if you're above that, volunteering that, and if you're below that, not. Do you have a comment on
that? That does seem to happen. I mean, this is the first year for many schools to be test optional. And that's just certainly the applicant's right to choose which credentials to forward to a college to put their application in the strongest possible light.
Well, I appreciate your time. This is fascinating, and it sounds true. It just makes those of us who, you know, I'm of an age where when we took our ACT, you showed up with a pencil, you didn't study, you didn't even hardly know what you were doing. You just took a test and they said you'll get a score in the mail and that'll be your number. And since then, we've seen parents get extraordinarily involved. My wife and I sent our sons to a tutorial session to help them learn how to take the ACT, which I don't think helped them that much, by the way. But I guess the point of this is that all of the anxiety that we went through as parents or students now seems for naught, doesn't it?
The rules of the game have changed. And indeed, from back when I took the test, and you just went in and took the test just like you, to when my son took the test, when there was high-priced test prep all around and an arms race among parents to give their kids the best test prep weaponry, this reduces that set of pressures and puts the focus on what really matters, which is mastering and learning in high school and proving that you have the capability to do real academic work.
Last thing, coming out of school this year, this spring for high school students, what a bizarre year, right? It's been
terrible.
It's almost impossible.
High school kids, as we do, everything that adults experience as part of a high school experience disappeared from classes and gathering together outside the school. So the senior prom did not happen.
Oh, yeah. To say nothing of the mental checkout that kids have had in the classroom. I just wonder how much they were learning and how relevant any grades are this year.
Well, we'll find out in the year or so after the schools do the research on the applicants who were admitted under test optional procedures in the pandemic. You can't make that judgment in advance. But, again, we're not talking about random selection. We're talking about people who've been in the admissions business looking at class after class of applicants and making reasonable decisions